Okay, you're listening to Able On Demand, and we at the Scottish Consortium Annual General Meeting for 2011 in Glasgow, and we're delighted to have in the On Demand studio Jan Lomsley. Jan is the professor of the Open University. So, first of all, Jan, can you tell us about your job?
Well, actually, Michael, I don't work for the Open University all the time. I'm a consultant and I do lots of research and teaching in learning disability in different universities and other places. The other thing I do, which I think your listeners might be interested in, is that I work with self-advocacy organisations to do research and to do... Well, with one, I'm helping them write the history of their organisation. They've been going for 21 years, and we're writing up what they've done in that 21 years so that people in the future will know about self-advocacy in the 20th century, which I think is a really interesting project. So I'm very pleased to be involved in that one.
Now, you have published a book. We're going to move on to speaking about the book in a minute or two. But first of all, I would like to go back to this morning because you were speaking about the snow going back. Yeah. Can you tell us a bit more about that and a bit more in detail if you can?
Yes, certainly. Well, I was talking, my talk was entitled No Going Back, But Where Are We Going Now? No Going Back is about not going back to institutions. Obviously, we don't want to do that. They weren't good places and that people had horrible lives there on the whole. But where should we be going? And part of my talk was saying, what lessons does history teach us about the past and the present, and what should we be learning from the past, which will help us manage the present better? So I chose three things to talk about. One of them was families, one of them was communities, and one of them was the workforce. And about families, what I was saying was that families, it's hard work when you have a disabled child, and sometimes families feel excluded and rejected, and they feel that other people don't welcome their children because they're disabled. And yet families are often people's best supporters. They're the people who are there throughout their lives. And we must think, services need to think about how do we support families to work and support their sons and daughters or sisters and brothers better.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that some families are overprotective and some families are a bit abusive, but nevertheless, I think that families deserve more support, more understanding than they usually have. So that was one theme. A second theme was about communities, and can communities be welcoming and inclusive, and if so, how? And one of the things we're doing at the moment is closing down big institutions like day centres and things where a lot of disabled people meet together. And although they're not ideal, they're often the places where people make friends and see other people. So if we close those down, we need to think, how do we replace them?
Mm.
How do we find ways of helping people feel part of communities, belonging? And a couple of thoughts I had. One was, when you're planning personalised services, when services are thinking, how do we personalise a service, they need to think, well, who matters to people? Where are the people that matter to them and that they matter to? And they should be thinking about that as they plan the services. Not just think, oh, well, we'll put them in that place or that place. Mm-hmm. You need to actually know the person,
yep,
know the families, know their friends, and try and make sure those services help them keep those contacts. And the other one was, I still believe that self-advocacy has a very important job to play, and it's a place people can feel safe with other people with learning difficulties and can learn how to speak up, can learn about new skills, new research, and it's a place to have fun and have friends, actually, with a lot of people. So we need to be sure that we look after some of our policy, we support it, we fund it, etc. So that was communities. And the third one was the workforce, the people who were paid to work with people with learning disabilities. And often those people find it hard to think, I'm supposed to be supporting independence, mm-hmm. but what does that mean for somebody who's got quite severe disabilities? How can they be helped to be independent? I'm supposed to be supporting inclusion. But what does that actually mean if the man or woman I work with doesn't speak and has challenging behaviour? How do I do inclusion with those people? And we need better training, I think. Otherwise, staff tend to just look after people, but they don't actually help them lead better lives, other than keeping them clean and fed and watered and safe. Mm-hmm. And they need to be more ambitious than that. So those were the things I was talking about this morning.
It was very interesting. I enjoyed it. Let's go back to speaking about your book. You touched on this morning on your presentation and on your website as well about your public's a book. I believe it's just out, or is it?
It was published about a year ago.
Yeah. So can you tell us a bit more about that and what is it about? And,
okay. Yeah. Well, I wrote the book with somebody called Kelly Johnson, who is at the University of Bristol. So we're good friends, and we've written a book together before.
Yeah.
The reason we wrote the book was that we thought, well, these ideas about a better life for people with learning disabilities have been around a long time, that people want a job, they want a nice house, they want friends, they want to have relationships, all those things that everybody thinks are important. But actually, although the policies have changed, often we don't actually... Oh dear, noise. Although policies have changed, we've changed the words we use. Often people's lives haven't actually got that much better underneath it all. So we have all these wonderful policies, wonderful ideas, but what is really happening to people? And are there different ways of thinking about how we get a better life for people with learning disabilities? And what is a good life for people with learning disabilities? Mm. How do we know what a good life is? How does the same as you know what people want?
Mm-hmm.
So that was what the book was about.
Yeah. I must take a wee read at that. You founded a social history of learning disability research group in 94. How did that all come about, and how did you get people involved?
Because, well, that's one of my favourite stories, so I'm glad you've asked me that one. When I got into working with people with learning disabilities completely by accident. I got a job at the Open University, and it so happened that that job was about developing a course for people who worked with people with learning disabilities. And because I had done a history degree when I was young, I thought, oh, it would be very interesting to know what the history of all this is, because I started working on this course. And the course was saying, oh, well, people want to live an ordinary life. And I thought, well, surely they do. Why is that new? Why is that exciting? Why are we writing a course about it? That's just obvious, isn't it? Anyway, I realised that the history of learning disability had not really been studied or written about. I was amazed. I couldn't believe it. I looked for it and I thought, I'm looking in the wrong place. But no, there was very, very little written about the history of learning disabilities, and nothing about the lives of people with learning disabilities. Nothing. There were two biographies written by people with learning disabilities. And so that's why I started the group, really. How we've got other people involved is by having conferences. We have a conference every year in Milton Keynes, and they're inclusive conferences. They're for people with learning disabilities, families, staff, academics, teachers, anybody who wants to come. And everybody is invited to give a talk. They don't have to be experts, they just have to have something to say. And we get between 100 and 150 people to those conferences. So that's the main way we get more people interested and involved in the history of learning disabilities. And it's gone from strength to strength, I'm really pleased to say.
Now, is it open to the whole of the UK?
Absolutely, yeah. And we've had excellent people from Scotland. We had one last year, somebody talked about the Highlands. There was a big hospital in the Highlands, and they'd done a project on that, on people's lives in that hospital. So she came and talked about that. That's one example of one of the people from Scotland we've had. We've had others, and I can't quite remember what they were, but we've had them, quite a lot of Scottish speakers, and quite a lot of international speakers, Denmark, hi, Iceland, Australia. We have people from around the world coming too.
That must be really interesting to hear people's stories.
It is.
From all over the UK, but outside the
it
UK
is very
well,
interesting,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely. There was one I can remember where two women, one from Iceland and one from England, talked about their lives, and they realised how many things were similar in their lives, which they hadn't known about before. So it actually sort of says having an international conference helps people see that the things they're facing are faced by other people around the world, and that, yeah, I think is quite helpful.
And that's the same issues as well.
Yes, same issues. Yeah. And I think that's helpful for people. It's not our fault that we're struggling with these things. Actually, it's an international thing. So yes, I'm sure it's very important that international connections are made.
Finally, I would want to ask you, one of the reasons why I requested an interview with you today was you're part of a programme that's getting screened next Monday night. That's the 14th of November.
No, it's actually on the... It's now changed to the 17th of November.
Okay.
It's on Thursday the 17th.
17th, and it's called the Queen's Hidden Cousins.
Yeah.
Now, can you give us a bit of insight to that, please?
Yes, well, it's a Channel 4 programme.
Yep.
And what it's about is that in the 1930s, the Queen's two cousins of the Queen were born, and they had a learning disability, both of them. They were sisters. And as was common at the time, those sisters were put in institutions, and their families
forgot about
them. And the programme is actually about those sisters and their lives, and why the royal family hid the fact that they had learning disabled relatives and why they left them behind. So it's actually a very sad story. One of the cousins is still alive and still has no contact with her family. So that's what the programme's about. I encourage your listeners to watch it. I think it's going to be very good.
Yep, and you are interviewed, Donna.
I'm interviewed, and I haven't. Yeah. They interviewed me for 4 hours, but I haven't actually seen how much of the interview is in the programme. So I'll find out tomorrow when I'm going to actually see the film before it's broadcast, in case anybody rings me up with questions about it.
Well, Jane, I would like to thank you for giving me your time today, and safe journey back home, and enjoy the rest of the AGM this year, and hope to see you again up in sunny Scotland.
Thank you, Michael, and thank you for the careful preparation you put into the interview. You'd obviously done lots of homework and asked some really good questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you.